The militant grammarian, Catherine Schultz, and Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums are back to the front porch. While the Carver Center for Public Radio remains open to KUAF staff only, Catherine and Kyle have recorded their most recent conversations on his front porch.
Well, Kyle, I've made lots of jokes about how kids don't know what a phone booth is or how to roll up a window.
In a car. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the website ranker.com, I found a list of antiquated phrases we still use.
Okay.
Kyle, what does close but no cigar mean?
It's almost there, but not quite.
And do you have any idea where the phrase came from?
I don't, but can I take a guess?
Sure.
I think it's going to be maybe at some sort of carnival.
That's exactly right.
And if you got it, if you successfully did something, you want a cigar.
That's exactly right. During carnivals in the 1800s, cigars were rewarded as prizes. The updated saying might be close, but no teddy bear.
Right.
Because you never really win it.
Oh, one of my greatest achievements was the last time I went to the Washington County Fair, I won a stuffed animal for Laura.
Oh, amazing.
I mean,
and
I was,
how much did it cost?
Oh, well, who knows? But there I was, late 40s, early 50s, and I was so proud. Okay.
Kyle, if you're up to working extra hard or late into the night, what might you say you're doing?
You're burning the midnight oil?
Right. Before electricity existed, candlelight or lamp oil was used for lighting. When you stayed up late to work, you literally burned the lamp oil at midnight. Hmm. What's the equine equivalent of telling someone to stop acting superior?
Equine horse. Get off your high horse.
Yes.
Yes.
Sip. Before the automobile, owning a horse was a sign of prominence. And since nobility and high-ranking military officials were primarily the ones who owned them, to get off your high horse literally meant to dismount your horse and humble yourself.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And while we're on the subject of horses, what does it mean to get something straight from the horse's mouth?
Well, that's like you have gone to the direct source of information.
The undisputable source, right.
Yeah.
The phrase originated around the turn of the 20th century. Purchasing a horse was an expensive endeavor, as we said, and unless you knew where to look, you could easily be swindled. Hmm. A horse's teeth, however, could tell you all you needed to know, the age, health, and general condition of the horse. So literally, the horse's mouth told you the truth.
And I'm sure that connects to don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Probably. I
because
bet.
If someone's giving you a horse, it'd be rude
yeah.
to check it out. I mean, you're
would,
not paying
you would
for
assume
it.
That, yeah. That it's going to be yeah. healthy. What do you think is the millinery equivalent for being batty?
Millinery, that's hats?
Yes.
So if you're batty, you're considered sort of, we'll say, eccentric.
Think of.
Mad as a hatter.
Yeah,
yes.
There you go.
Yes.
In 17th and 18th centuries, hat makers or hatters often had cognitive issues or went mad as a result of mercury poisoning.
Oh, my.
A side effect of manufacturing felt hats. The famous Mad Hatter of Alice in Wonderland is also a play on this phenomenon.
Wow, so it was an occupational hazard to make
to
hats.
To make hats, yeah.
Wow.
And speaking of hats, what does at the drop of a hat mean?
You would do something instantly, maybe impulsively?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. It just, yeah, almost without thinking.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the 1800s, the indication that a race had started was not a gunshot, but rather it was customary to drop a hat to begin. I don't know how that really works into the unintentional part
right.
of it, you know.
And I'm also thinking, so that meant you had to watch the guy who was... Mm-hmm. And was it when it left his hand? Was it when the
yeah,
hat
right.
hit the ground?
Yeah. Lots,
oh,
lots
that seems
we don't
room
know
for debate there, yes.
And what if there was a gust of wind?
Right, right.
Kyle, you've probably heard this phrase applied to you. Hmm. Dressed to the nines.
Oh. Well, I wear a tie. Yeah, I don't know if I'm dressed to the nines. Well, that means you are dressed as well as you can be.
In
you
the
are
best.
Something.
Yeah, yeah, in your best. To the nines, meaning perfection, dates to the 16th century. But by the next century, dressed to the nines meant that you were rich enough to purchase the entire 9 yards of fabric it took to complete a tailor-fit outfit.
That, I had no idea. I love that.
Dressed to the 9 yards, more or less.
Right.
Here's one you and I know, but lots of younger folks don't understand what CC in emails stands for.
Well, it means carbon copy, but of course you're not using carbon paper.
Right. Before copying machines were an office staple, copies were made by sliding a piece of carbon paper between an original document and a blank paper. The phrase is still invoked to mean an exact copy. Did you ever use copy paper?
Carbon paper? Yeah.
Carbon paper,
I took typing class in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? When I first started doing Ozarks at Large, I was still typing scripts. And if you wanted to have a backup script or one for your co-host,
wow,
you had the carbon copy.
That's right. You're like 30 years in, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, you started when you were 8.
Exactly.
Kyle, do you know anything about pipe organs?
I bet I know where this is going, but I don't want to blow it.
Here, let me hear it.
Pull out the stops.
That's it.
I learned that doing a story about pipe organs.
Oh, really? That's good. And what does pull out all the stops mean?
Well,
not organ-wise.
Right. Figuratively, it's like no holds barred, to use another cliche. You're going all the way.
That's right. Giving it your best effort.
Yes. Yeah.
The idiom originated when organists would literally pull the stops from every pipe on an organ so they could play at maximum volume. Did you experience that?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of happenstance. I think it was a church in Bella Vista. This was some time ago. They had assembled a new organ, and I was getting a tour of the instrument, and he mentioned that these are stops. I saw, like, pulling out the stops, and this gleam in his eye, and he just pulled them all out and blew me through the wall. It was beautiful.
Finally, Kyle, through the 18th century, businessmen often kept track of debts owed and the interest that built on loans by carving notches on a tally stick. When someone arrived to pay off their debt before the next notch was carved, he would save that day's worth of interest. So when he arrived, what did he call it?
And these notches are in a what now?
A piece of wood, tally stick.
I've paid. Cutting it close?
Nope. He arrived at
his destination. He arrived in the nick of time.
There you go.
Funny how the brain works.
He arrived at the nick of time. Okay, Kyle, it's time for us to update our idioms.
Yes, it is. Catherine Sherrills is our militant grammarian.
Our militant grammarian is Catherine Sherrills. She talked with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellumps.